May the Lord help us each one today. I thought of this song a while ago. When I read how my Savior was nailed to the cross for the sins of the world to atone, oh, I feel so unworthy, such suffering and loss, for I know in my heart what it means. When the gospel is preached in the name of the Lord, by the Spirit sent down from above, my soul thrills with joy at the sound of His word, for I know in my heart what it means. When the sweet songs of Zion, and here, that's one of the reasons why I love coming to Monarch, saints. I see people from all different areas come here and we start singing these songs of Zion, and there's something in our heart just says amen. And it's hard for us to keep quiet. I know I might be a little bit more demonstrative than some. But that's okay. I think we all just enjoy these good songs together. These songs are precious to me. And I still, there's a memory in my mind that back in my teenage years, probably early teenage years, Brother Lewis Williams up here one time, but the Lord is really anointing that song service that morning. And Brother Lewis was just walking up and down through here. Sawdust was still on his floor. And that one song, I forget even what it was right now, but I remember him, big old smile on his face, and he said, "Praise God." I'd love to hear that again. But the brother has gained his reward. Now you and I, we're fighting for ours. And I'm very interested in we all make a success out of that. And we are able to come here and hear these sweet songs of Zion floating above. And I hope that when you see and read and hear the truths that are in these songs, I hope also there's something inside you that kind of leaps up and says, "Yes, me too. I'm right in there with those, the rest of my brothers and sisters." When the sweet songs of Zion are floating above, and the saints all rejoice in the Lord, I'm happy in Jesus and lost in His love, for I know in my heart what it means. You know, you don't know in your heart what it means unless you've experienced it. But you can know. And when others proclaim that salvation is free, when they tell of the soul cleansing blood, I too can rejoice, for He sanctified me. And I know in my heart what it means. Brother Sammons was preaching the night I got saved. And I don't really remember a lot of what he was preaching about except the theme. And what he preached about was a no-so salvation. And I believe the same faith that gets us, the same blood, the same God that has brought to you and I a no-so salvation, also brings to you and I a no-so sanctification. I'm very grateful for that. And however it comes, folks, God confirms it to each and every one of us. We want it with all of our heart. I thank Him for that. Well, I'd like to look into the Scripture this afternoon. You pray for the Word as we approach it. Let's look over into Luke, the 6th chapter. I was very encouraged by the song that was sung, the special song that was sung this morning. And I suppose that I'm not the only one. And the example that she gave about people who have felt the opposition of Satan. I suppose that if you're not on the right side, you're not going to feel any opposition. But I'm glad that when we feel the opposition, that's a good way of knowing we're on the right side. I believe the devil's going to do his part. I also believe that if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I don't think we have to fail. I believe we can make a success out of this. I'm interested in making heaven my home. And I would ask us all to keep our eyes on the goal, not get to the point that I feel like, well, I'm just so worn out that I'm just going to give up. You ever felt that way? Has Has the devil ever whispered that in your ear? Hear more than one saying yes. The devil will do that. But I mean to go right on until the crown's won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not go. I shall not know. For God will give us victory if onward I shall go. Let's look over here into Luke, the 6th chapter. Start here with the 46th verse. Jesus is speaking here, and he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep." That's the words almost wrote on the board back there. Dig deep. And I believe one of the reasons why that's important for you and I in this day and age is because if we're not well founded on the rock, you and I are going to be moved. I want to survive and do more than just survive. I want to survive with great victory. I want to be on something so solid, so firm and so sure that when the storms of life around are raging, there's something that anchors. When I was a young man, there was a couple sisters years ago. I was probably 5 years old when I first remember hearing this song. They used to sing a song, "In times like these, you need an anchor. We need an anchor. In times like these," I'm forgetting. But it goes on and says, "Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock." That rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Oh, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. Recently, those of you who know me know that I live out in the country. I'm a farm boy. And we were getting ready to build some new fence. My son, his desire to build this fence, it really wasn't my deal, but he was kind of wanting to build this fence, and he asked me to come help him. And I want to tell you, when we started digging, one of the things you need to make a fence stay, it's a very good, strong corner post with braces. And you don't put those on top of the ground. Most, when you see a big old strong corner post up here, you got quite a bit of that in the ground or else it's not going to stay. Well, my son chose some nice corner posts. He found it. He figured out where he wanted them set. And we went over there and started digging. It happened to be at this point where he decided to dig that there was a considerable amount of rocks in the ground. Well, you can go along and dig for a little bit on the surface. And at one point, we had worked, and it was hard to dig these holes. And one hole, you know, when you're building, you got a corner post and a brace post over here. And I always figured that brace post wasn't quite as important as what that corner post was. So here we were digging this brace post, and we hit some really hard rock. And I was telling my son, isn't that deep enough? He said, "I want it to stay, Dad." Folks, in our lives, there are times that we'll have, the devil will give us plenty of opportunity to say, "That's good enough." When there's still things in the way. Don't we want to stay? You know, I've been around Monarch long enough to see many faces come and go. Some have left because they gained their crown. And some have left because they lost their crown. Some have left because they lost their vision. Some have left because they hit some rocks in their life and were unwilling to deal with it. And decided it was good enough to leave them there. Spiritual laziness will kill you. spiritually. Spiritual laziness is apt to take our life from us. And we'll get so complacent that we think it's good enough. I want to tell you, folks, it's not good enough unless we're founded on the rock. Jesus said, the one who hears and does, the one who performs, the one who puts forth the effort to take what the Lord communicates to you and I and receive it and act upon it, that one is like the man who began to build a house and he started first by digging down till he hit the rock. Oh, folks, it's as important today as it ever has been in history. And sometimes I think it's maybe a little bit more. I'm sure our generation isn't that much different than the others, except I do see evil abounding. But I want to tell you, any person who has survived spiritually throughout history has been the man who has been absolutely unwilling to build his life on shifting sand. The man who has made it has been the one who has only been satisfied with digging until he found the rock. He was unwilling to let flesh grow. He was unsatisfied with a life that was surface. The man who has made it, those who have went all the way to the end with victory in their hearts, have been those who have said in their heart, I will not stop until I have given my all. Isn't that what sanctification is all about too? Everything that God has for us. Jesus said, whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them or doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He is like a man which built his house and digged deep. I know it says more than that, but I've got to stop and dig deep still. Folks, have you ever noticed places in your life? Let me go step back here just a little bit. You remember when Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. He didn't say, if you, if you want to come after me, you've got to go all the way. But these others, I'll be easy on them. No, Jesus said, if any man, that means you and me. And I don't mean to try to hold up something that's so hard that we can't do, because that's not what Jesus was holding up. You know what he was holding up to you and I? You know what he was holding up to us? He was holding up to us a way of victory over the flesh. That would destroy and cause you and I to fall into slavery again. You know what that is? That nobody likes to be a slave. Nobody wants to be tied to only perform the works of the flesh. I remember when I was a slave to that. I remember when I did the deeds of the flesh. And I know what it did. I know what fruit it produced in my life. And I remember how there came a time that I would look in the mirror and didn't like the man who I had become. Well, you know why? Because the flesh had control in me. But Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, deny that flesh. And take up what? The cross. What's a cross for? It's to take the old flesh and nail it to it. It's to when you're digging deep and you find a rock. And you find a rock that you feel like it's immovable. The cross is for that moment. To nail that moment to the cross and say, yes, Lord. I'm here till I get down to the rock. I'm here till I dig deep. Because you see, I want it to last. Don't want it moving. I want that corner post. I want that staying. I want it to survive. I'm interested in making heaven. Sometimes something in us would like to, I suppose it's like, we all feel some of this. We like to be liked. Like to be accepted. I suppose there's nothing really wrong with that until it controls us. I want God's approval more than anybody else's. No, that doesn't give me a right to run roughshod over you. But I tell you what, God doesn't want us to be so captivated by our selfish desires that we're controlled by it. Lord, help us to employ the cross. Digging deep, you see. Those places that would rise up. You ever found any of those places in your life where you felt like that you're serving the Lord and then all you come up to a place that it's too hard to move? Well, I can tell you, when we were digging those post holes, there was a storm coming our way. This was the last post hole, and I was thinking, that's good enough, because the storm clouds are rolling, the raindrops are starting to fall, and I said, it's good enough, but it'll do what it's supposed to do. And my son goes and grabs a big old metal bar. We're going down, Dad. How are you facing life? You know God's got some metal bars for you to get hold of? Some wrecking bars. Some places that need to be tore up. Some places that need to be addressed. Sometimes the Lord personally takes us by the hands and leads us to a point where we see that rock that needs to be moved. We see that hard place. We see that selfish place. We see that place that needs to be dealt with. The Lord in His mercy brings us to those places. Sometimes we call them afflictions. Sometimes we say, I'm like you. When I'm in a hard affliction, I'm praying, Lord, help me, Lord. Please heal me. And sometimes it's His will to do just that. And sometimes it's His will to bring us to a place that we see ourselves better. So then I think I've learned to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, lead me on. Lord, whatever your will is in this matter, that's what I want. And sometimes those places will lead us to instances where we can see ourselves. And sometimes we start feeling like I want to shrink back from the picture that I see. But that's when He hands us the wrecking ball and says, it's time to go a little deeper. See, that one. The one who is unsatisfied with a mediocre, shallow experience is the one who wins. And I'm grateful that the Lord has mercy on us and is willing to bring us to places like that. And I'm grateful that He's not trying to hunt for the opportunity to cut us off. I'm grateful for that. But you know, He wants us to dwell in such a place that our joy can be full. He doesn't want us to be hindered with these things that stand in our way of the real victories in life. He's like a man which built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, you think we're immune to floods today? Well, we're not. I'm not talking about water running here now either. We're talking about the floods of life. You ever felt any storms? I want to tell you, folks, as long as what the devil's alive, we're going to have some storms. As long as what we live, how about that? As long as what we live, there's going to be some storms. We're subject to the storms of life. Because if you notice here in this reading, it wasn't just the man who built his house upon the rock who had storms. It was also the other man who built his house upon the sand. Everybody is going to experience the storms of life. The floods came and beat upon that house. Think it not strange today, my dear brothers and sisters, if you go through some fiery trials. Think it not strange. You're not the only one to have experienced that. Not the first generation. And if you think just because you're saved, you're experiencing that, you need to look out beyond you, because there's people out in the world experiencing very hard places too. I was over there by Sister Bowman this morning when it was mentioned up here before the song about the person who felt like on that day they it just thought the thoughts came to the mind, I'm just going to give up. And Sister Bowman said, oh, you know, something about don't give up. You don't have any help. And I said, amen, I agree with that. It would be very unwise of us if we decided, if we got in a hard place and decided, I'm just going to give up, going to quit. You know, you didn't better yourself at all. You didn't help yourself at all. The best way to do is go ahead and come back to the Lord, start digging deep and say, Lord, I want to make it. Lord, give me some grace. Give me some strength. Lord, help me know what to do here. You see, then you enter into a closet of prayer. You enter into a place of communion with the Lord where He can commune with your soul and get and breathe into you and I strength. You'll receive strength when this Holy Spirit comes, you see. A lot of power, a lot of might in this thing. The Lord Himself is interested in taking people, human beings, imperfect human beings like you and I, and start shaping us and filling us with His grace and His power and His might and helping us to be victorious right here. Amen. This man dig deep, laid his foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it. I like that, don't you? I like the words of how Brother Luke put this down. Couldn't shake it. Now it beat on it, folks. It wasn't playing around. These storms of life, they don't play around. You're going to deal with some things. But this man, before the storm ever came, before the pressure was ever put on him, he decided, I'm going to dig down until I am founded upon the rock. And then the storms came. And it hit him hard. And he didn't shake on that rock. Oh, there have been times, I've got to admit, I feel like I've trembled a bit on that rock. But the rock never moved. The rock never moved. I've never been disappointed in my Savior. Not once. I've been disappointed in some of my actions, but I've never been disappointed in my Lord. Could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But those who hear the words of the Lord and discount them, those who hear the words of the Lord and somehow make excuses that He really didn't mean all that it sounds like He meant. You know, here's where human reasoning starts coming to play. We start trying to make room for the flesh. You see, that's really what it is. We're trying to make room, make it some sort of easier route. I dug down this far, Lord. This was easy digging to hear, but I've hit some hard places. I believe that's good enough. Do you want to stand or not? Go on digging. Get out the bar and dig deep. This man decided that it was good enough. The second man, not the first one. The second man. He that heareth and doeth not is like unto a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. I'll share with you that I want everybody to make it. But I also will confess to you, I have a very soft spot, I have a burden for you young folks. I want you to make it real bad. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, and I'm not here to try to peddle fear to you. I will tell you that God's able to keep you. But I will tell you that it's of utmost importance that you dig down and you found your life on the rock. It's already been mentioned here about your marriages. Oh, young people, please let the Lord guide you in your seeking of a companion. Please spend time praying. I believe it's very important, young men. Number one, before you begin to seek a companion, make sure your life is grounded in Christ. Make sure your life is grounded in Christ. And I would encourage you young men to set up a habit and a pattern in your life of learning to seek God in personal prayer daily. Learn to set that up as a habit in your life before you ever begin to seek a companion. And before you begin to seek a companion, ask the Lord for a go-ahead. I remember in my youth, shortly after I got saved, felt like the Lord had told me that I needed to become stable in the Lord. And I said, yes, Lord. I told him at that point that I would not be interested. I wouldn't be looking around until I felt the go-ahead from him. And so I felt like the Lord asked me to just put my energy and my thoughts toward the Lord. And I was blessed in doing it. And then I felt clear that the Lord will let me seek a companion. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like that I got ahead of the Lord a little bit for a little while. And it wasn't right. So I had to go back and say, Lord, I think I've let my emotions rule me. Had to deal with that. Had to actually tell the Lord that I was sorry, Lord. Lord, I'm just a young man trying to learn. Did you know He cares about that? And He's not interested in cutting you off. He wants you to learn. And He's not looking for the opportunity to destroy you when you mess up. But come back to Him and say, Lord, take me by the hand. I need You. And He will. And then I want to tell you, then there came the time. And I backed up and I started seeking the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to move until You say it. And then it became clear. And this August 18th, my wife and I will have celebrated 30 years. And it's been sweet. Young people, I want to tell you, that's what the Lord wants for you. He wants a stable and a good home. But if we, again, I give you this caution. If we live to the flesh, we will reap the things that the flesh grows. So dig down deep. In your youth, this is the best time to get started down on the rock. This is the best time to purpose in your heart that you won't let anything between you and the foundation, that rock, Christ Jesus. And if you find a place in your life that stands there in opposition to you or the will of God, I want to encourage you not to be satisfied until you deal with that. Because, oh dear ones, because you want it to stay. You want your life to stay. You want it to be successful. You want to make heaven your home. Well, I believe that's what the Lord has given me to share with you this afternoon. Oh, folks, I want to encourage us each one not to allow the storms of life, or not to let the flesh rise up and take control in our life and cause us to miss our eternal goal. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.